From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Brother Litesh Majetia. Sri Litesh has been blessed by Bhagwan to be at his divine lotus feet since childhood. After completing his Bal Vikas, he joined the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization Youth Wing in Mumbai and with Bhagwan's blessings took up leadership in implementing several service projects including drinking water, community center development, rural school redevelopment and Sri Satya Sai village integration program in several villages in the state of Maharashtra. He also had the rare opportunity of serving Swami in his residence at Dharmakshetra and other places during Swami's visit to Mumbai and other parts of Maharashtra. Professionally, Brother Litesh has served in various leadership capacities in HDFC Bank, Standard Chartered Bank and currently works with the Bank of Baroda as the Senior Vice President and Head Supply Chain Finance. And this talk was delivered at the Satya Sai Baba Center of Hollywood on July 29, 2018. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some soulful songs sung by Swami students. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. And with that, over to Brother Litesh.
Okay, so let's start. I'm more excited than all of you because my memories revive when I speak about the experiences that I've had because those are those golden days and golden memories which are there along with us spent with Swami. And I think one of the most wonderful experiences that one can ever get is to be with Him and experience His divinity. So I'm going to share some of these experiences with you. And after that we can have question and answer sessions. If you have any questions, we can answer. And I firmly believe that whatever happens in our lives, right, it's completely His divine will. Today I'm here, today you are here. It is not just coincidence. I have seen this throughout and one of the most beautiful examples that I always quote is this. And this happened in front of me in the interview room with Swami. So I was blessed with Swami doing my initiation in terms of thread ceremony, Upanayanam. And that is a time when He gave this ring to me, materialized in 1999. And during that time, there was one of the interview and some of the boys were there. And what happened was, Swami was talking about spirituality, etc. And then Swami finished His talk inside the interview room and said, do you have any questions, doubts? So nobody initially raised their hands because, and people knew that, you know, if you don't ask questions, then Swami will say, okay, time over and He'll get out. So one boy, he just raised his hands and said, Swami, I have a question. So He said, haan, poocho, kya hai? Then He asked, the boy asked Swami, it is said that not even a leaf can move without your wish, without God's wish in this universe. So how can, is this true? And if yes, does every leaf take your permission before it moves? Yeah, so same was the reaction there in the interview room that everybody laughed and Swami said, look, He said in Hindi, He said these exact words, dekho ra, ye srishti hai, hamara wish hai, to ye srishti hai, hamara wish nahi, to ye srishti nahi. So, the boy was very dejected because this was a very high level answer. The meaning behind this was, if God's will is there, the universe exists. If God's will is not there, the universe does not exist. So Swami asked that boy, are you satisfied with this answer? So he could not say yes or a no. So he just, Swami understood that he was not satisfied with the answer. He said, he was sitting behind. So he called him in front and said, okay, sit down here. He said, you have your hands. By your free will, can you move your hand? So the boy said, yes, Swami, I can move my hand. And he said, okay, now your wish is there, my will is there, you can move your hand. He said, yes, Swami, I can move my hand. And he moved his hand. And everything was perfectly normal. The next question Swami asked him was, now my wish is not there. Let your will be there. Right? My will is not there. Let your will be there. Can you now move your hands? And I was just sitting next to him, to that boy. And he did not know what is he getting into. And he said, yes, Swami, I can move my hands. He said, okay, move your hand now. And you won't believe, just sitting next to me, I still get goosebumps. I'm witness to this personally. He tried his level best to move his both hands and he could not move even a centimeter, a millimeter. And for 30, 40, 50 seconds, he was struggling to move his hands and then he realized that nothing below his neck part was working. It was paralyzed completely. And he said, what's happening, right? I mean, he was like perspiring. He thought that, why did I ask this so stupid question? I've landed up into a paralysis now. And, so he started crying, So I said, don't cry. But you said you can move your hand even without God's will. So how is that you are not moving? He didn't have anything to answer. He just, touched his feet to his forehead to Swami's feet, drooped down basically, and Swami just lifted him up and said, "Don't worry. This is just an example. Now my wish is there. You can move your hand." And he was next second again perfectly normal and he could move his hand. Now, this is a person, it is not hearsay, it is a personal witness by my own self, right? And I knew that boy, and that is the power of avatar coming down between all of us and giving such experiences which are absolutely touching and giving us the first hand information and experience of the divine as such. So today you are here and I am here just because it is just not a coincidence. It is his will and it is his grace that we are talking and singing his glory. One thing that I wanted to again tell you is that today's topic, we will touch sprinklets on Swami's omnipresence, omnipotent and omniscience, right? More so after April 2011 when Swami took Mahasamadhi. We all are missing Swami a lot, right? Is it not? Yeah. And initially, even we were very, very sad because we were so attached to this form. We are still attached to the form. But I feel that Swami is more now with us than he was ever before. This last few years, he has given innumerable experiences where he has proved that his presence has been more powerful than ever before because we miss him so much from our heart, right? And that touches us. So moving on to omniscience as such. So there are many incidences that I want to share with you, but these are incidences either directly related or experienced by me or happened in front of me, right? So all of us know Professor Anil Kumar, right? He is a translator of Swami. So this happened in 95. Swami had come to Mumbai and I was in Swami's room. And Anil Kumar's daughter was supposed to get married. So he was in Swami's entourage. He had come so that he can translate Swami's discourse. And then he had to fly back again so that he can conduct his daughter's marriage. So in between the visit, he had to take Swami's permission and go. So he had to catch a flight at 3 o'clock and Swami was already up and Swami had not come down. So he requested me, can you please send a message that Anil Kumar wants to meet. So I went and told Swami that Anil Kumar is at, usko jana hai flight mein. So Swami came down, gave him Pad Namaskar and gave him Vibhuti and gave him blessings for his daughter's marriage. And Anil Kumar left from there. This was May 1995. And then his daughter's marriage got conducted, etc. Everything was fine. I went to Puttaparthi in July, Guru Purnima time. And that was a time when actually his daughter had got married to somebody in US itself. So she was in Dallas, and she had sent letter to his father, Anil Kumar, that time, that in July. And Anil Kumar got that letter, and he was coming out and coming for darshan, because that was darshan timing and afternoon time. So he came with the letter, came to darshan, but he could not wait for, you know, Swami's darshan to get over, because daughter got married, has gone to US, first letter from her, very inquisitive. So he wanted to actually check out what is written in the letter. So music started, Swami came, and he quickly opened the letter and started reading. And this was, I was just opposite to him, so I could make this out. And all of you are able to get my vocabulary fine? Yeah. Now, he's reading the letter. In letter it is written, Father, I'm very happy here. He's a nice man and a good husband. I'm very happy. I've got a job here, so I'm also occupied and engaged. And overall, US is fine, marriage is going fine, I've got a job. In nutshell, in that letter it was written that everything is fine because of Swami's grace, because of Bhagwan's grace. It was written very specifically, by Bhagwan's grace, my husband is good, by Bhagwan's grace, I got a job, by Bhagwan's grace. For every line, that Bhagwan's grace was there in that letter, written by the daughter. And while reading that letter, I could see Anil Kumar's tears flowing, because he remembered his daughter, who was in US and he's in India. And when he was kind of having tears in his eyes, Swami was already finished the darshan lounge on the ladies' side and came to the gents' side. He was very close, so he immediately wiped his tears, folded the letter, kept it inside, and was in a position of pranams so that Swami comes. And Swami came and looked at him and said, "Hey, Anil Kumar, where is the letter?" So he said, "Swami, which letter? I have not written any letter to you." So he said, "No, daughter's letter. Get it out of your pocket." So he pulled out the letter from his pocket. And Swami said, "Padho, kya likha hai? Read what's written." Before he could read anything, word by word, in the letter which was written, Swami narrated to Anil Kumar. And he said, "Daughter ne likha hai, by Swami's grace, my husband is very good. By Swami's grace, my job is done here. I'm very happy in US because of Swami's grace. Is it not?" So he read out the entire letter verbatim, and letter is in Anil Kumar's hand. So Anil Kumar said, "Yes." Then he made this very profound statement and very intriguing. Said, "Dekho," he said this in Hindi, "daughter is in America and remembers Swami, so she is very happy. You are in front of Swami, but remembering the daughter, the world, and that is why you are sad." And he took Pad Namaskar. Swami said, "So very profound statement. Wherever you are, if you remember God, you'll always be happy. But even if you are in front of God in the sanctum sanctorium and remember the world, you'll always be unhappy." So that was the message that actually Swami gave during this conversation. And his omnipresence is proved by the point that whatever is written in the letter, Swami immediately told him in front of us, right? So that was very powerful. Another very important incident that I remember, very simple but very profound, again, statement made by Swami. You know Joy ice cream? Yeah? And you know Quality ice cream? Very famous in India, maybe. So owners of Joy ice cream and owner of Quality ice cream, both were devotees of Swami. And both were sitting in the veranda. Outside, stiff competition. Inside, they don't speak to each other. Right? And Swami was in the interview room, and he came out of the interview room after the interview and saw both of them sitting next to each other. He said, "Oh, both of you are sitting together." Then he said, "Joy mein quality nahi, quality mein joy nahi." There is no joy in quality, and there is no quality in joy. See, very profound statement. So, very punchy, quick lines, but very profound and very meaningful lines that he had said. another incident of omnipresence. My brother and I were in Puttaparthi. We were given rooms in East Prashanthi C21. And like all siblings have, right, we had a small argument, fight, whatever you call it. And my elder brother was with Swami in Purnachandra. And this was around 12 o'clock. And he came home after his duty with Swami. And he had told us, were you guys fighting? I said, we're not fighting, we're arguing. He said, but I said, how do you know that we are? He said, no, I was serving Swami lunch. And Swami said there, tumhara Bombay boys dekho, dono jhagda karta hai. They're fighting, right? So he's in Purnachandra, we are in East Prashanti, and he said this. Another very, very important incident where omniscience was shown. So one of my friends, Swami gave them, called them for an interview and gave them a room inside Prashantilayam. It was West 8 on the ground floor. And Swami called the boy and his mother and said, Swami chavi deta hai. Andar raho, bahar mat, don't stay outside, stay inside the ashram so that it is better for you. Go and see the room. If you like it, you take that room. So Swami gave them the keys. Into got over, they went. And then they called me, I said, can we just have a look at the room? And I also went to. Moment we entered the room, you know in Prashantilayam, right? It's a one big room and then a very small kitchen. So moment auntie entered the room, she said, room is good, but the kitchen is very small, right? And the boy said, or yes, Swami has given room, whatever it is, we should appreciate. Well, yes, I appreciate, but she made that remark. In the evening, Swami again called them for interview, both of them, I was not there. And Swami said, Amma, how did you like the room? So she said, Swami, very nice, very, very nice. Very nice. Room is nice, but kitchen is small, no? You said that there, right? So, these are some of the direct incidences that proves that his presence is there everywhere. And even today, when he's not there physically, I'm sure his presence is there everywhere where we feel his presence, right? We have to just get connected with him. That's how it is. Another incident on omniscient and omnipresence that I can relate to it very much is that there was a Gram Seva organized and water project which we had conducted in and around Bombay. There's an area called Karjat. There are a lot of Adivasi villagers, and these villagers actually have to go down and fetch water pails. The ladies especially, and trek 3 to 4 kilometers up the hill and fetch water every day for their daily use. So Swami inspired us and we actually started the water project there. So there was a foundation ceremony or Bhumi Puja of the water project on 22nd of August 2004. I remember this date very clearly. That's because it's a rebirth for me. So we had all gone there, 150 to 200 youth of Mumbai. We initiated the water project. We had no money. But then I was working with HDFC Bank and Aditya Puri, who is the MD and the CEO of HDFC Bank, knew that I was doing something. So he gave me an appointment for 15 minutes to see what is my project and how can he participate. He was very impressed and he said, how can we participate? I said, money is one part, but I think all our employees, if they come and do service, they will realize the dichotomy. Just 65 kilometers from Bombay, this is a situation. He was very happy. He spent 1.5 hours. He ensured that he understood the sustainability of the project, etc., and donated also. That's how the project got the finance aspect of it. And we all, the youth of Bombay, actually did this water project. Now, as far as Swami's in this incident is concerned, so we all had gone on 22nd of August. We were very tired. The whole ceremony went off very well. The Bhumi Puja, villagers, 1,500 villagers had come. We did Narayan Seva. We did medical camp. Everything was absolutely brilliant. But at the end of the program, we were all very tired. So program got over at around 4:30, and we started back. And 4:30 to 6 is Rahu Kalam on a Sunday, right? Generally, you don't step out or start your journey, etc. But since we were all very tired because we were there from previous day, ensuring that the cooking is done, the pandal is laid, the all the arrangements are done. So we started at 4:30 around, and the youth coordinator of Mumbai was in his car, and we were five of us in the car. The whole road towards Karjat is a very curvy road, right? It's all snail, and it was August, so it was actually raining very heavily. And he was driving because he was driving fast because he had to reach home for some reason. So I said, Ajay, drive slowly, you know. It will be very difficult if you have to negotiate a curve ahead. He said, don't worry, I'm there, we'll get it done. So he was driving at 120 kilometers per hour in that small road. And the first curve came and the car slipped a bit. I warned him again, but he wouldn't give up. So actually, the second and the third curve, and the third curve car actually slipped off, and there was a total disaster in the sense, I have some photographs to show you. You can see the car completely topsy-turvy. And we were in the car, and there were youth following who actually bought us out and took the car. So there was a CD playing also in the car, and it was still playing. And I moment the car slipped off, I was 100% sure that we're not going to survive because it was at a very high speed, and the road was small and actually tossed and turned a lot, and it's finally stopped. And moment the car actually met with an accident, I was like, Sairam. I was sure that this is our last breath, so better to take his name so that we can be liberated as such. And that was really the case. Horrible accident, five of us inside. And you can see, literally, I was sitting in the front, and you see the window. I mean, the head crashed very badly, and people came, our boys came from behind, they actually broke open the doors and the windows, and we had to crawl out, literally. And Ajay and everybody said, everybody alright, and we just looked at our body and said, yeah, everything fine. Moment I came out, I got a call from my brother who was with Swami, attending to Swami. And Swami had come out for darshan. And before going out for darshan, Swami mentioned to my brother that tumhara Bombay brother ka, he has met with an accident. The whole car has turned around and it's topsy-turvy, but nothing to worry. I have saved them. So he called me and I said, how do you know? He said, no, just now Swami came for darshan. And he was telling that you met with an accident and such a thing has happened. And I said, what time it was? We started at around 4:30. This accident happened exactly at around 4:45. And 4:45, Swami is telling him. And his call comes to me at 4:50, that Swami told this. So this is the omnipresent Swami and the omnipotent Swami who actually saw all this, and I told my brother that tell Swami that I'll come next week and show thank him and show the pictures. Moment I went to Puttaparthi, he called me, said, I know your accident happened, it was a karma, but nothing to worry, I've saved you. I showed the photographs. He called me inside, there were some foreign devotees, etc. Swami asked me to narrate the entire story to them and show the photographs. Swami actually looked at the prints of these photographs which I carried for Swami. He looked at it and said, nothing to worry. So you're doing my job, so you don't have to worry about it. So that's the power of omnipresent Swami which happened that day. So whether it is my career or whether it is life, everything has been really guided by him. I'll tell you, I'm an engineer by education. In 2002, in the summer course, Swami I was having a job in Tata Infotech. It was a good job. My boss was good. Salary was good. Very nice. And Swami, in one of those interviews, asked me, what are you doing? So I said, Swami, computers, coding, etc., profile. He said, computers for you, not good. Leave the job. Now, those days, it was very difficult to get another job, right? So I was trying to convey to Swami that, look, my boss is good, the company is good, the salary is good, so please don't make me leave the job. He said, no, it's not good for you. You leave the job. Second time, he said. I was still trying to try my luck to persuade Swami. He said, no, you listen to me, it's not good for you, you leave. I said, okay, Swami. So this was May 2002. I came out of the interim, went back after a few days to Bombay, and I was trying to search for a job. Now, when will you leave the job? If you have another job in hand only, then will you leave the job, right? Normally? Yes or no? So here, I was trying to search for another job, but it was very difficult to get another job so soon because I had just completed a year. And I went back, I tried a lot, but nothing happened much, no movement. So July again, I went to Puttaparthi because of Guru Purnima. And those days were lucky days. Swami used to see and call us. So he called and he took me to the interview. First question, I'm entering the interview room. First question, so many people. He must have met so many people between May to July, right? He must have given interviews, spoken to so many people. But first question he remembered and asked, I told you to leave your job. Did you leave your job? I was like, oh my goodness, this is gone. I said, Swami, I am trying to search for another job and I have yet not got it, so I have not left the job. He got extremely furious, okay? And he was like on me, and everybody was sitting and everybody was looking at me like I have done something really, really bad. So Swami started shouting at me, literally. I'm giving you so much of time, you don't have even iota of reverence for me. I don't speak to many. I speak only to chosen ones like you. Still, you're not listening to my advice. What is the use of speaking? And you went on and on for 15 to 20 minutes. And I finally, caught his feet and said, I'm so sorry, Swami. I thought that, I should get a job. But who told you to get another job? Did I tell you to get another job? I told you to leave the job. Why are you not? Implicit obedience is bhakti, he says. Why are you not having... I was crying and everything. Here I will deviate a little. So implicit obedience, I remembered one thing. Atal Bihari Vajpayee, the former Prime Minister of India. He had come to Puttaparthi after becoming the Prime Minister. And Swami was granting him interview and Swami is talking about how he should lead the country and how what are the changes he should make in the constitution, etc. to lead the country better. And in between that, Vajpayee asked Swami, Swami, please tell me what is bhakti. So Swami ignored that question. And he continued about talking about the country, reforms, etc., etc. After Swami finished his talk, there was again a question from Atal Bihari Vajpayee. Swami, what is bhakti? Please tell me. At the same point of time, one boy who was serving there came with two, three glasses of water of glass and came for serving Vajpayee and the team who was sitting there. Moment he entered, Swami looked at him, that boy who was carrying the tray, glass full of water, and Swami said, leave the tray. Drop the tray. Instantly that boy, without thinking that it is glass, it may hurt Prime Minister, it may hurt Swami, or water will splash. He just left the tray and really the glasses were here and there. Water splashed on Swami, on Vajpayee, everything. And he also got, quite ado by it. So Swami said to Vajpayee then, this is implicit bhakti. I told him to drop the tray and instantly drop the tape without thinking of the consequences, without thinking, just my orders, and he followed it to the core. And here I was in this situation where I had no bhakti in his language, right? No implicit obedience. In fact, I was trying to argue with him why I should not leave the job. So that was the condition, and I held Swami's feet coming back to my interview, and I said, Swami, I promise you, the moment I leave this interview room, I will send a resignation letter to my boss.
You are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
Condition, and I held Swami's feet coming back to my interview, and I said, Swami, I promise you, the moment I leave this interview room, I will send a resignation letter to my boss. The moment I said that, he became a little calm, and I was thinking that normally it is the other way around, right? Interview should not get over. This interview, I was thinking, kitna jaldi it gets over, I can run out, because I was so scared. It was a horrible situation. I thought, you know, ground should just split and I should go inside. So that it was very, very 15-20 minutes hammering by Swami. And all that he had to say about me, you know, he just massacred me in that era. So I wanted to get out of the room. So the moment I got out, that those days mobile phones were not that active. So I went, I spoke to my boss over the phone and I said, look, I will need to resign. And he was like furious, my boss, because I was a good employee. I was also happy with him. He was happy with me. And there were 2-3 projects which were going on. So he was like, what are you doing? I gave you 3 days holiday and you are just resigning like this. It's unprofessional. I said, you just calm down. You don't worry about the projects. I will ensure that I'll come back and I will complete those projects or at least hand over to somebody who is very efficient. So there is the work will not suffer. I assured him that. And then he was little calmer. But then he asked me, where are you? I said, I am at Puttaparthi. Oh, is that your Sai Baba was told that? I said, don't talk about my Sai Baba first. Okay. I will not listen anything. You talk anything else. But so I stopped it. And I went back to Bombay. 3 months without salary, I ensured that they were ready to give me salary, but I did not take because Swami's command was there, I should leave. So better to leave. But I went there, ensured that the projects were smoothly handed over, boss was happy, finally gave the resignation and the formal resignation. And this was in July. In September, I get a call from HDFC Bank that there's in corporate banking, there is electronic commerce vertical which is coming up and we need people like you, so will you be interested? I said, look, it doesn't matter if I am interested or not, but you know, somebody else has to be interested, which I'll figure out later. But first you take my interview and see whether I'm qualified, and if you feel, then I need at least 15 days to tell you yes or no. Is it okay? He said, okay. You come for the interview. There were 3 rounds of interview, grilling sessions, everything happened. Got selected, got the offer letter in my hand. Now, I was happy because at least there was a same job which went away. This is a domain in banking which I never knew about, but at least I got a job because my family conditions at that point of time were not so good that I could afford not to work, right? So with great enthusiasm, I went to Parthi. And those days, as I told you, moment Swami will see me, either he'll talk or call or something will happen. And that was his grace. So I went with this offer letter of HDFC Bank back to Parthi, sitting in the front row, expecting Swami to immediately talk to me, smile at me, guide me, etc., etc. And guess what? He came for the interview. He's looking through me as if I don't exist. He's taking letters from my left, right, center, behind, but ignoring me completely. And I had this one discipline that, you know, unless Swami tells you to get up and talk, I would not. So I had a letter in my hand, I was looking at him, but he will just ignore me. First day over, second day over, third day over, fourth day over. I thought Swami was angry with me in July in the interview, and his anger is continuing. So now he's not even guiding me. I had a great God whom I lost. I had a good job which I lost. I have now a new job which I'm not able to accept because he's not guiding me. What is the condition? And the family's financial situation that time was not very good. So I was really worried. And then, sixth day over, seventh day also getting over, and those days Swami used to come and where the Samadhi is there now. In the evening after his interview rounds, he'll come, he'll sit informally and talk to students informally without a mic. So he came and I had a privilege to sit just behind students. So he came and he started talking to students, etc. And he was at a distance. So since there was no mic, I was not able to hear him. And after every 5 minutes, there was a roar of laughter amongst the students. And later I came to know that he was talking about Mahabharata incidents and Ramayana incidents of Shurpankha. And he was talking on his own style, how Shurpankha's nose got cut and all that, right? So they were laughing. Now, here is a situation. 7 days, Swami is not looking. job gone, new job not being accepted, and extremely in a precarious condition there. So then suddenly, I don't know why, but I remembered this incident. If some of you have seen this Mahabharata episode where Kauravas and Pandavas are in the battlefield and Lord Shri Krishna's rath, the chariot, comes in between, and Lord Shri Krishna is actually giving a discourse to Arjuna about Bhagavad Gita. And Pitama Bhishma is on the Kaurava side, and there is a very beautiful scene there where Pitama Bhishma can see Lord Krishna talking to Arjuna, but he cannot even hear a word. And he says one dialogue, which I got at that point of time, that yadi hawa ka ek jhoka bhi Bhagwan Shri Krishna ke shabdon ko mere kano tak pahuncha de, to mera ye jeevan dhanya ho jayega. I'll just translate it in English. If the blow of air can at least reach few words of Lord Krishna to my ears, my life will be redeemed. That was what Pitama Bhishma felt, and that dialogue was there. Here was the same situation where I was sitting in front of Bhagwan. I was not able to hear anything, and I suddenly remembered this incident. So I also earnestly from my heart prayed to Swami that, you know, even if one blow of wind makes me hear what you are saying right now, I will be redeemed. And with lot of emotions and purity, I said that instantly, moment this thought occurred, Swami called Shiv Shankar Sai, the warden, then warden at that point of time, and told him something. I could see they are talking. And then Shiv Shankar Sai warden comes directly to me and says, Litesh, come, Swami is calling you. Again, omnipresence. Halt ka pukar, you know, he calls. But then I come back into my fear senses and say, look, Swami has been angry last interview with me. He's seeing me but ignoring me since last 6 days. So are you sure, because the hall is full, and if I am an unwanted person whom he has not called and I go, he will blast me in front of everybody, which I didn't want that to happen. So he said, no, don't be back, come fast, Swami is calling. Then with shivering hands, actually I was not knowing what will happen. So I went, and Swami went behind Swami, and Swami looked at me, oh, kabhi aaya, when did you come, like a very good smile. I was thinking, kabhi aaya kya, you are seeing me since last 6 days and you are not ignoring me and calling me. But I was relieved a little bit, because no firing in front of public at least. And then he made me sit and he introduced me to the Vice Chancellor and other senior devotees, Anil Kumar, that is there, and continued what he was talking, and I could hear Ramayana and Mahabharata from his own words for next half an hour, and I was in trance. At least one fear was gone, that Swami is back with me, he will not ignore me, he will still speak to me and all that. So that was a big relief. After the speech was over, the feud started. So Swami got up from his chair, and while going, he said, what? I said, what, Swami? What is in your pocket? Now, this HDFC Bank offer letter was in my pocket, which I forgot completely because of this scene. And he said, kya hai, dikhao? So I gave him the letter. Huh, Swami, this, you had asked me to leave the job. Now I got a new job here. So is it okay if I join? So Swami took the letter, sat back again in his seat, asked which bank, what profile, what salary, what previous salary was there, what is the kind of role, what is electronic banking, Swami, in that detail. And then I explained everything. At least 4-5 minutes he was talking like this. And then he said, bless karta hai, this is the right job for you, join. And today, for last 16 to 18 years, in banking segment, we have done enormous deals, such that today I'm in United States of America because University of Southern California has called me to speak about supply chain finance, which is related to banking, and blockchain, which is related to banking. So that is he ensures that your life is well connected with dots. In fact, few years later, I happened to get my horoscope seen by some very senior astrologer, and he said, you are not doing the job where in the field that you have studied. Is it right? I said, right, but how do you know? And somebody has intervened and ensured that you get into the right track so that you are prosperous. Is it not right? I said, perfectly all right. Then he went on saying that if you had continued in the same IT job, he knew I was an engineer, you would not have been so successful. So see how Swami takes care, but we at that point of time, we don't have that faith, that implicit faith in Swami that is required to follow his command, right? So that's one of the stories that I wanted to kind of share. So this today I'm living, breathing because of Swami. And my entire career, my family, my parents expired when I was very young, I was studying. And he gave me parents. Today I live with my Balvikas guru who are just like my parents. And Swami told my current mom that take care of them, my Balvikas guru. So today, whatever I am, wherever I am, it is only because of his Adanta Anhat Krupa, which is just Avirat Bhati. Ekdam flowing, his grace is flowing like him. So this is one thing that I wanted to kind of share with you personally as such. A lot of us feel that, you know, Swami was very weak towards the end of 2011, etc. But let me tell you, 2009 Swami had come to Hershey and I had a very blessed opportunity to set up his room. I was inside the Hershey room, etc. And I was very happy near Pune. So one of the volunteers who was there, he said Swami is so weak and he was trying to. So Swami immediately understood this. Swami was sitting and we were sitting. So Swami called him, come. Do my Pada Seva. So pressing the feet, right? And he started doing Pada Seva. And he was like a very hefty person, very strong person. So he started doing Pada Seva and while doing Pada Seva, his hand came between the thumb and the first finger feet of Swami. And then suddenly I hear a noise. Ah! So I said, what happened? So actually Swami had pressed his two feet and his finger, he had pressed very hard. And he was like in a shock because he thought Swami is very weak. And Swami actually showed him what is his power in that this thing. After Swami actually left for Prashantilayam, because it was still paining, that boy's finger was still paining, we had to do an X-ray. And when we did an X-ray, it was a minor hair crack fracture. So we think at a bodily level by looking at him that he was weak, but he was really not weak. We are very lucky and fortunate that we had Bhagavan amongst us, because I'll tell you one thing. The direct anubhuti, the direct experience of divinity, it is like, you know, all of us have learned magnetism. In our school days, magnetism. So, if a big piece of magnet is there and you place one small piece of iron and actually experiment in the lab, it actually pulls that iron and you can feel that force with you, right? That's a practical experimentation. But in the classroom, when you do theory, when they explain, the teacher explains magnetism, it is in terms of formulas, etc., which is not very clear because it's not experiential to us. Similarly, Vedanta as a philosophy is like teaching magnetism in a theory class. And Vedanta in practicality is when you come in association with an avatar or a Bhagavan himself and he gives such experiences to you directly that you feel the divinity within. How many of us have been in his presence and has felt our consciousness elevated? How many of you have seen Swami physically? Have you felt that your consciousness has little bit arisen when Swami's darshan was going on? Yeah? Similarly, this is very beautifully explained. 1960s around or 70s, I don't remember the exact year, Swami Chinmayananji was in Bangalore. His Bhagavad Gita discourse was there. And Bhagwan Baba, he invited Swami, our Swami, that is Bhagwan Baba, to inaugurate his Bhagavad Gita session. So a lot of devotees were there, Chinmayananda devotees and Bhagwan Baba's devotees. And Swami gave his discourse and he came off. After that, there was a topic on consciousness level, how to raise the consciousness. So in the question answer session, one of the devotees of Chinmaya Mission, Chinmayananji, asked Chinmayananji, that Swamiji, how to raise consciousness? So Chinmayananji says two ways. You study philosophy, you study Vedanta, and do Shravan Manan Nidhityasana, and you increase your sadhana and your consciousness level gradually will increase. That is one way. This is with self-effort. Another way is very simple. Go to Vrindavan, sit for Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba's darshan. This Swamiji, Swami Chinmayananji is saying. Moment Bhagwan Baba appears, thousands of people at a time, consciousness rises. Like magnetism, right? That pull increases automatically. So, we are very fortunate that he gave us this direct experience amongst his presence and made us go through some of the experiences. There are many such experiences still where you feel that divinity is present and chalking out your life in a very beautiful way. Now when I connect the dots behind and see what has happened, I could have gone into a very huge depression because my mother and my father both expired. I had no good job. I had a job, then what, you know what happened? And so and so forth. So many tragedies happened. But every step of that life, I can tell you, you heard that sand story? Footprints on the sand? You don't know? Okay. One man who died was seeing his life on a beach. And he saw that during good times, there were four footprints. Two of his and two of God. But during the most difficult period of time, only two footprints remain. So he complains to God as to why did he leave him during the difficult times of his life. So God smiled at him and asked, my dear child, the two footprints that you see is mine. I carried you during the difficult times of your life. So I would say that during the most difficult times of my life, he has not only carried me to his head so that not even my little finger can touch the ground. We went through the pains, but we did not feel the pain, right? That is his grace, that is his anugrah. So with this, I'll just say, Sai Ram, we have 5 minutes left to 8, and if there are any questions, yeah.
Sai Ram. Beautiful talk. It's a blessing to hear you. I have a question. What do you have to say to a devotee, some devotee, yeah, who feels that it's unfair, who didn't get to see Swami, touch Swami, talk to Swami?
Oh. See, every human being's destiny is written, right? It is just fine if he or she has not got to see Swami or experience Swami. Of course, if he or she would have got that kind of experience, it would have been really nice and elevating. But is there you can do something about that physical form now? The answer is no. But what we can do is something very powerful. Even today when we who have experienced him very, very closely, even today, sister, I can tell you, I can feel his presence in every act that I do, or if I'm stuck anywhere, even during my recent tenure in 2 years. There are so many challenges to implement this blockchain and supply chain finance, and I used to talk to him, and you won't believe miracles have happened. His presence has been felt. The same people who were obstructing the job suddenly said, no boss, you do it. Now, whether the physical frame, whether it is Lord Krishna or whether it is Rama or whether it is Sai Baba, the physical frame, can it last forever? The answer is no. What is permanent is his being at a cosmic level with us. And that's for surely there. Only thing is, your call has to be intense and very powerful to touch it. He has no escape. He has to be with you. That is for certain. Try this experiment. I have tried it and I have felt his presence. And I have seen these miracles happening. I miss him a lot though, still physically. But wherever I have really desired that now Swami, he has to do something, he has done it without fail. And very powerful. So, physical level is like, you know, going in the school. We have to one day graduate to that level to be with him at a cosmic level as well. So my request is, you can't do anything about the past that, you know, you could not have his darshan. But what you can very well do is have that faith, develop that faith and connect with him very powerfully. That connect does miracles, believe me. I have experienced this. That's why I'm sharing. Thank you. And very happy to be with all of you. And such an interactive audience. I also got a lot of energy and I relived my experiences with Bhagwan. And that makes me very, very peaceful and powerful inside. So thank you so much. Yes, I am.
Looking around, there's a magic of your love. Life in the same since the day you touched my heart. And I've been longing all alone. And I've been singing. Blue skies, and I know you can be far. Wherever I go, I know there you are. And I've been praying all alone. And I've been singing. Of sorrow, away day and night, the rays of the golden sun, and gone are the clouds. Oh, what can I say? Life to love, above the way you help me fly high. Fly with looking around, there's the magic of your love. The life in the same since the day you touched my heart. And I've been longing all alone, and I've been singing
my side.
Through divine discourses, music, bhajans, and through Vedas, talk shows, interviews, panel discussion, and study circles. All brought to you live from the epicenter of our times, Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Radio Sai Thursday Live.
For all the blessings that I call worship you with all of my heart, and I will worship you with all of my mind, and I will worship you with all of my soul.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.